רבי רפי.
רפי, יש
לי רימש? אצל רימש. סליחה, יש לך מקרות גדולות בבית? שנייה. במדבר, אם לא קשה לך. I'm going to show it to him. I called the people in Israel, I called people in Lakewood.
Does it say anything about the oil? There must be something about this oil.
No, what? I said about the oil, I didn't speak about the oil?
No.
תגיד לו להביא גמרא, ארט סקרול, אם יש לו, סנהדרין, עמוד 98. The Gemara says, it's a sentence in Navi, Yechezkel. Before Mashiach will come, there's going to be oil on the ocean. And they will not be able to go fishing. So I spoke about to go fishing. So 500 years ago, 300 years ago, 200 years ago, when you read this Gemara. It's a Gemara. I saw it in the Gemara.
Yes.
It says, before Mashiach will come, Sanhedrin 98. Before Mashiach will come, it's going to be so much oil on the ocean that you cannot go fishing. What did the person think 200 years ago? How's going to have oil on the ocean?
There was no oil anyhow 200 years ago.
200 years ago, no oil. So what does the person learn in the Gemara? It's a Gemara, it's in the text.
The only oil they had then was olive oil.
How they can have it on the ocean? So much.
Yeah.
You guys going to ask one? So I can show it to you. No, they have to read English. No, they have to read Hebrew. You'll ask all the thing on the machine?
No, I haven't
read it. Here, it says page 98. Man, it says.
Yeah.
It says in Ben David ba Mashiach will not come. Achit bakesh lagal cholei. They're going to look for fishing. They won't find it. He says, why do you mean they don't find the fish? What happened? Shenema as hashkia memehem en arotam kashemen. It says the water, the ocean will be full of oil. Yes. 98:1. This is the oil.
We started this now.
Now I'll show you. I'll show you about the sheep. I'll show you the sheep.
So maybe, I called Israel. He's no
Mashiach.
I called Israel. Tell everybody this in Israel. Look, the last prophecy of Bilam. You see the team? Look, the team, Yad Ki team. Team.
Team
is...
Team.
Team is sheep.
Hello.
Sheep. Constantine.
Constantine,
where does it say this?
Constantine. Yeah, 15. It says sheep will come. It says the sheep will come also from Italy. So we need enough from Italy now.
They have Italy on there. They had a lot of people on there. The whole world was on
there. No, but they have a sheep from Italy?
No,
it's
Turkish.
No,
not yet. It says Constantine. Yeah. It says Bilam said, then Mashiach comes. He says, here, look. Chapter 24.
Constantinople is the
capital of Turkey.
Of Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not Italy, no?
No.
He said Italy.
Italy. And Constantine.
Oh. Yeah, he said Italy.
Yeah.
But this is Bilam's prophet then?
Yeah, they came from Greece.
I know they had boats come meat from Greece, not Greece.
No, but I mean, no, they belong to Turkey.
They have from Turkey too.
Yeah, Turkey, okay. I'm saying Turkey. They have
came from Greece.
They have
Greece
ships from Turkey.
Okay. If they came from Greece, it's Italy, because Italy is Greece. Rashi says in Parashat Toldot, Italia shel Yavan. Italy belongs to Greece. Those days, Italy and Greece was one. He says, Italy. He says, Italy and Constantine. And Turkey.
What is Constantine? Constantinople?
Yeah. Chapter 24, Bamidbar. Sentence 24. Page 24, sentence 24. Yonatan ben Uziel, Yerushalmi. It says, Zohar is the same thing. Zohar says the same thing.
But Tzim is that's a
ship.
Tzim is a ship line. Same.
That's what the Tzim line is called, Tzim. Okay, Tzim.
Does it say anything about the volcano?
Tzim of the Lord.
The volcano?
The volcano, it says.
Yeah, the volcano is something else.
The volcano, I spoke. I don't know if I spoke of him.
No.
The volcano, it says in the book, 250 years ago. The name of the book is called Migdal Oz.
You said that.
Are you
here? Are you on here?
He was away, maybe.
Yeah.
What
did he say? It says that this is the entrance to Gehenna in Iceland. It says in Iceland. It says people go over there.
Iceland
is the entrance to Gehenna. And it's a volcano. Mm-hmm. It says 250 years ago in the book.
Right.
But it's another mountain over there.
פה בגמרא סנהדרין כתוב שלפני שבוע המשיח יהיה שמן על כל המים ולא יכולים ללכת פישינג. לא יכולים למצוא דגים כי הכל יהיה מלא שמן.
אבל איפה? לא כתוב איפה.
לא, כתוב על הים. אם בן דוד בא, משיח לא יבוא עד שיתבקש דג לחולים. מי שיצא להביא דגים לחולים ולא ימצא, אין דגים, למה שנאמר, כתוב הנביא יחזקאל, אז אשקיע מהם ונערותם בשמן כשמן הולך. יהיה שמן שם על כל הנערות. יהיה שמן על המים, על הנערות יהיה שמן, לא יהיו דגים. תראה, עמוד צדיק חד, עמוד עד. ופה כתוב שלפני שבוע משיח יבוא אוניות מאיטליה ומטורקיה להתקיף את ישראל, ואז יבוא משיח. ופה, תסתכל. פרק חב ד'
לשלוח עוד אוניות.
You need to send the ship to Italy now.
Huh?
Have to send the ship.
No, it says it was from Yavan. It's enough. It was from Greece. Greece is Italy.
I'm pretty sure.
No, team. Team. Team's on New York.
Team.
Team. Sino. 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 Team. 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 ויבוא בחזרה יחד איתם קונסטנטין, עם טורקיה.
קונסטנטין זה טורקיה?
כן.
We ready, it's already 9:06. Parshat Shlach. Permission, Parshat Shlach, this is chapter 13, Sefer Bamidbar. This is really the biggest tragedy we may say that Am Israel had on the way to go to Israel. And that's how the Parashah starts by Yesh, starts with Deber Hashem, and Moshe Lamos, Shlach Lecha Anashim, Yatu Otiratznan. Please send some people, they should look around. Eretz Israel, it's called Eretz Knan. I'm going to give to the Jews. Please take one person per tribe, all together 12 people. They will go so called to check Eretz Israel. What's behind it? The way that the Torah says in Sefer Dvarim, it says Am Israel came and they told Moshe Rabbeinu, we would like to know how to go to Eretz Israel, which way to go, and where to go. And the first question is, you don't have to ask, because there's a cloud, and you all follow the cloud. But that's what we read last week in the Torah, that in the desert, they follow the cloud, that they have no way to know where they're going. Unless the cloud picked itself up and went, they couldn't go. When the cloud picked itself up and go, they follow the cloud. So it means you go to Israel, so you know you're going to have a cloud. The cloud will show you. The cloud will show you the way. You don't need spies. What do you need spies for? Anyway, what do you think the spies will tell you? So the first question is, you're going already in the desert. It's the second year in the desert now. talking about millions of people. So what is the option? What is your question exactly? Your request for Moshe Rabbeinu that you want to send spies. Here Hashem tells Moshe, okay, send the spies. Send those people. Let them go look around Israel. I says, okay, let's take the worst scenario. He says, what can happen? What do you want to hear from them? Whatever they're going to tell you, you're in the dead end anyway. What are you going to say? You're going to go back to Egypt. What are you going to do? You can't go to America. Where are you going to go? You told me millions of people, no houses, no housing, no nothing. Everything is packed up on the donkeys. You're in the desert. So now you're a few miles away from Israel. You can just cross to Israel. I said, no, let's send spies. What do you send spies? What the spies can tell you? Even they're going to tell you bad things. What is the option? Even though the Torah will tell you later that eventually the spies came back and they didn't like what they saw, and Am Yisrael said, we're going back to Egypt. Are you serious going back to Egypt? Are you serious going back to Egypt? You forgot what happened in Egypt, how much you suffered there for so many years. You're going to go back to Egypt. So what's the purpose of sending the spies? What's the purpose? Not only that, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't advise it. Because something wrong can happen from those spies, and I'm telling you, I promised them that I told them they're going to a land that produces honey and milk, and they're going to check it. I'm telling you, you're going to fall in a trap. So again, so if Moshe hears such a thing, Moshe should have canceled it. Moshe doesn't cancel it. Moshe says, okay, says the Gemara. Moshe said, you know what? Hashem said it, but I like the idea. I'm gonna send the people. He says, Hashem told you, don't do this. It might be a disaster. So-called Moshe takes a chance. He says, what's behind it that Moshe so-called does not take the advice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? As he told him, I don't advise it. And again, there's nothing for you so-called to know about Eretz Israel that might convince you to do anything. Anyway, you're on the edge of Israel. So what does Moshe think in his head? They won't go to Israel? Of course they can go to Israel. So what does Moshe think? But the spies will come back and then they're going to say what? Whatever they're going to say, you have to go. It doesn't matter the answer. What are you going to do? You're not going to Israel. What are you going to say? You stay in the desert. What are you going to do? Besides, again, you have to follow the cloud. You follow the cloud, you have to follow what Hashem said. Follow what Hashem said, there's nothing to do. So what's the whole purpose of this? Not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the one that chose those people. It's not just, you know, that Moshe went and he picked up the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, listen, you can send those people. Those are so-called the top of the line. The best people that Hashem could trust in the whole nation. 12 people altogether, they're going to go check it out. They're going to go check it out, again, upon their request and so-called disapproval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe took a chance. Because Hashem told Moshe, I don't advise it.
But it says very clearly here.
Shlach lecha. Said, Shlach lecha ledatcha. Ani lo metzave otcha. If you want, go ahead. Those are the people that I suggest. I don't advise you to send. So it's my shlach. It says, Shlach lecha. Send for you. It says, what means send for you? What is it for you? It says, because I don't advise it. I'm against it. It says the Gemara, I promise them that I'm going to bring them to good land. So what is the purpose of sending a spy for? For what are you going to need those spies for? So here, if you skip, after the names of the people that were appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe sent them, it says sentence 17, it says, V'yishlach otam Moshe latur etz nan. Moshe, don't take it personally because your name is Moshe. Don't take it personally. I mean, the Ari says, whoever's name is Moshe has a spark for Moshe. You know, everybody's name is Moshe. It's from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yosef is from Yosef. But I'm nothing against you. David is David. Yeah, everybody. Right. Until the Rambam, almost. Almost. Almost until the Rambam, everybody was afraid to name his son Moshe. But Moshe was so big. So it's dangerous. It's too much. Ari says it's too much obligation. You call your son with a certain name after a certain person, it's a big obligation. Big obligation. So it's sentence 17 with your permission, Moshe sent them. says, please go via the south. Go towards the mountain. Says, go see the nation that live and dwell over them, if it's a strong nation or a weak nation. Says the Gemara, what Moshe really meant. Says the Gemara, Moshe meant to tell them, you know, there is a land, so-called, that produces strong people, and there's a land that produces weak. So, I don't understand. So what is the choice? Let's assume that they come back, they go over there, and they see the weak people. You know, everybody is shorty, everybody is over there a midget. So, she's not going to go to Israel. She's not going to go to Israel. Besides, that I'm sure, even without internet, that, you know, Serach Bat Asher was still alive. She was from Israel. And even though she wasn't from Israel, you know, the people live in Egypt, they had tourists coming back and forth from Israel, and I'm sure they had media. Everybody knows what's going on over there. It's not, you know, it's not China. It's, you know, it's next door. Really, we were in Egypt for years and years. Next door to Egypt were Israel. You know, it's a few days walking. So you know what's the people over there. You just came out of Egypt 2 years ago. You know what's going on over there. It's no secret. You don't have to have a GPS. It says you lived in Egypt for hundreds of years. They said, what do you think? People did not go. Peddlers did not go. The Gemara says constantly had business coming back and forth. So the last 80 years you were slaves. Okay, so you want to know what happened in the last 80 years? What do you think? They came home. So they were speaking politics. What do you think? They didn't know what's going on. That wasn't a secret. It was not the outside of the world. There's nothing to look. Oh, yes, you want to know if the people over there are strong. Of course they're strong. If they're not strong, so I know it's not strong. And even if it's not strong, what is your option? So if the spies would say, no, the people are very weak, so you're not going to go to Israel. But it's not a little bit anything. Hameatu Imrav, there's a lot of people over there. What do you care if there's a lot of little? What do you call for attack? Anyway, you know, you just came from Egypt. You know what happened in Egypt. Hashem took the whole army of Egypt with the people and drowned them in the Yam Suf. So what's the big deal? So if you can have millions of people in Israel, or going to have hundreds of thousands of people in Israel, doesn't matter to Hashem. But Hashem can drown 100,000 in the Yam Suf. He can drown a million people in those. It's the same thing. Again, you have Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going in front of you. He's going in front of you. Doesn't matter who is in front of you. It means nothing. You don't remember what happened in Egypt? What Moshe did to Egypt? So what's the big deal? What do you have to know? Just let's see, check it out. How many people live there? First of all, what do you mean how many people live there? Well, you don't know. You've no idea how many people live there. People don't know. You don't know? It's next door. It's next door to your country. You don't know how many people live in Jordan today. You need to have the internet for this. Omar, Yosheva, Tova, sentence 19. The land is a good land, bad land. Good, bad. What difference does it make if it's good or bad? What is your option? The cities have walls, don't have walls. What difference does it make if it's a big deal if they have walls or what? What do you mean they have walls? You know what happened to Jericho later. It says Yeshua went around and said, Shabeach, and the walls hang. And if you don't say Alinu Shabeach, Moshe is afraid of the wall. Umaret Hashemina Imraza, it says the fruits, the fat or the fruit are skinny. Well, who cares about it? Who cares about it? You need high tech. You don't need fruit. Ayesh ba'et simayin. He says, if there's tzadikim over there, there's no tzadikim over there. It chazaktem ul kachtem mipri haaretz. You should be very strong. As the Gemara says, Moshe told them, you might be spotted by the people over there, and they'll find out about you. They're going to ask you, what are you doing over here? They say, we came over here to get fruit. What do you need fruits for? What do you need fruits for? You need fruits for what? Maybe Korea and Avim, so this is the so-called dangerous days. If you remember, Rav Shimshon Ostapala says, the letters before Anavim, Isamech Mim, Aleph and Lamed, he says this is the days the Satan is very strong in Shamayim. He says it's the summertime. He says, by the way, today was Chaf Sivan. It was a day that a lot of people didn't eat today. This is about... Taftaf Kuf Nun. It's about 500 years ago, 600 years ago. It was a massacre in Europe. Taftaf Kuf Nun, it's 900. 800 years ago. A tragedy in Europe today, big tragedy. Some people say Shulchan Aruch. Some people did Tani today. So Ari says, some Shimon Shmuel Sofer says, you know, the summertime, a lot of tragedies happen in the summertime to the Jewish people. And says the Torah emphasizes, you should know, this is the days. Bikurei Anavim doesn't mean that the grapes are ready. Who cares about the grapes? Even though the Torah will tell you the big grapes, that's not what the Torah means. It says the Torah means that you should know it's dangerous days. I say it for a purpose. So again, this is the instruction that Moshe gives them. And again, the instruction doesn't mean anything. Again, this is not what they had in mind. Moshe gives them, sounds like, and they'll come so-called with negative answers. So, sounds they're not going to go to Israel. He says, where are you going to go? They went to Israel. First, Caleb came to Hebron. You should know the giants in Hebron. Four giants. Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, and the father, Mr. Anak. Sentence 23, they came to a river called Eshkol. They cut from that place a branch. Zmora is a branch. Eshkol anavim echad, also a bunch of grapes. Took one pomegranate and one fig. And says, what is the purpose to take a branch? So Moshe told them, go get fruits. So the Torah emphasized, they came to a place that's called the river of Eshkol. And it says, they went over there. The Torah says, the first thing what they did, they cut a branch. So what do you need a branch for? The Torah says, you know, it took 40 days to come back. They came back to Moshe and Aaron to the desert. It's true. We went to Israel. It's a lot of honey and milk. It says, what is this? Moshe did not ask you if there's honey and milk. What difference does it make? He says, no, you should know. It's true. There's a lot of honey and milk. He says, what's the difference? Really, what's the difference? If there is milk, there is honey. I'd rather have over the oil than honey and milk. What is Israel? 50 times in the Torah says the Zohar, it says Israel produces, has a lot of milk and honey. What's the difference? Who cares about it? Says the Raglin, the spies come back and says, you know what? It's true. There's a lot of honey and milk over there, all over milk and honey. Ephes, but sentence 28, Kiaz Amashe Baret, it says the people are very strong. The giants. So the giants, the Gemara says, why are you telling them the giants? It says, so called to scare them. But they get scared. What do you think? They didn't know the giants. The Gemara says, when Abraham took Yitzchak to Akedat Yitzchak, Sarah Emanuel woke up in the morning and she's looking. Abraham is not home. After a few days, Abraham is not back. So Sarah went to one of the giants in Hebron and asked the giant, do you see my husband? The giant said, yeah, I saw the old man over there. He's on building an altar and he take his hand over there. So the Torah says the spies came back and they said there are giants over there. What do you think? The Jews did not know, the Jewish people did not know there are giants over there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a secret. The giants lived there from the time of Mabul. From the time of Noah they have giants. The Og Melech HaBashan, the biggest giant, was swimming next to the Teva for 1 year. I said, we have giants. We say we have giants. So are you afraid of giants? We're afraid of giants. We're afraid of giants. This is nothing. You can have a heart attack also. I mean, if Hashem wants to kill a giant, Hashem will kill a giant. You see, from all the giants that they had before the Mabul, only one was left. One was left, Og Melech HaBashan. He was the only one that left. Everybody drawn in the water. So it means, listen, don't think Israel is so simple. We have giants of them. So, Moshe, while he was a teenager, he just said one word next to an Egyptian officer and he dropped dead. Just have to say next to him and say, give him a bracha. He said, go to Gehenom. He goes to Gehenom. So what do you think of a giant? You think giants will not fall on the floor? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go with you. How many giants? Moshe is going to go to him and say, Shalom Aleichem. He said, Anna Bechoach. And Anna Bechoach, the Egyptian dropped dead. The Ramban said Moshe put his hand on him, like he says the Birkat Kohanim. He says, I want to give you a blessing. After the blessing, the man fell dead. He says, why? You can't scare anybody. You know, you have to understand, if you have a munah after you saw what happened to Egypt, actually you saw a year ago what happened on Arsina, that Hashem came down, and you heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything else. And you have man every day, daily you have man. You have the water from the well of Miriam. It says, really? You get scared from a giant? Anyway, this was my mission. Okay, let me tell you. I saw the giant over there. Again, they didn't lie nothing. They didn't say one extra word. They just say what we saw. They didn't exaggerate anything. No exaggeration. They saw whatever they saw, whatever they were sent for, they're back now. They're back now, they give the information. They don't say one extra word. It says, that's what you want more? I tell you. Amalek is Negev, Amalek is there. Finish the statement, didn't say anything wrong. Didn't say to go, didn't say not to go. I said two sentences. This was my mission, this is the report. Nothing. Kalev stands up over there on the bench, and he said, yeah, we're going to go, and we can do it. Then those 10 rabbis, they were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the top leaders of Am Yisrael. Anashim asher alu imo, sentence 31, amru lo nuchal otah la'adam shenachta kumeinu. He says, they're stronger than us. Comes the Gemara, and the Gemara says, you know what they meant really? They meant that the people over there in Israel are stronger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Impossible. It's impossible for us to capture it. What do you mean, it's impossible to capture it? No, you really? You a believer? You a Jew? You a believer? And you talk like this. I mean, if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one thing. But you can say, you know, I believe in God. But I think there's something stronger than Him. So it means you don't believe. If you really believe, you can say such a statement. Come to Gemara and says, those spies had it. Chazakum imenu. Somebody is stronger than God. Somebody is stronger than Hashem. You want me to make it? Are you serious saying it? Anyway, the Torah says, by the way, we saw a lot of funerals over there. Every 5 minutes, another Cadillac. So, at least they have Cadillacs. I said, what's the big deal? I said, people die, you know, so? Baruch Hashem, it's not Jewish people. Arabs. Excellent. We should have a funeral every second from the Arabs. What's so bad about it? You go to Israel, you see every 5 minutes a funeral. So, it's not going to happen to you. So, I don't understand you. You're Jewish people. What are you afraid? He comes and says, Eretz Mochelet Yeshviya. The land has some kind of negativity inside. A lot of people died. Not a lot of people died. The sinners are dying. The sinners, they died. Of course, they should die. The Torah will tell you later. Moshe told them before also. He says, be careful, don't do when you get to Israel what those people that live in Israel, because then the land will throw you out of Israel. Torah says in Parashat Achimot, Parashat Kedoshim, Torah says a few weeks ago, listen, do not behave like they, because they're bad people. Okay, now I'm the spy, I go inside, say, see, Baruch Hashem, excellent. Every 5 minutes, the funeral, they deserve it. It says, they did bad things. The Torah says, Parshat Achimot, that's what we read on Yom Kippur. It says, those people in Israel did not behave. It says, Arayot. It says, okay, good for them. Perfect. Instead, the spy says, you know, this land, it's the people that dwell on this place. What do you mean, they eat? They eat, the land eats the people. Opposite. The land is doing the right thing. Also, we saw people over there, giant people. So, giant people. So, big deal, so. That's good. So you can have a good basketball team. Excellent. You're going to win all over. You don't have to bet anymore on who's going to win, Giant or Mets or this. You know, Israel's going to win. It says, Anshei Midot, Olsi Peri, it's called. Perfect. What's so bad about it? It's an excellent idea. Sham Rainu also, again, they say, Ton Nefilim Bnei Anak, Min Nefilim. He said, we know so the giants. By the way, the giants, emphasize, you know how the giant? Why is the giant? He says, the giant, he fell from the sky. He says, which one fell from the sky? If you remember Parashat Bereshit, he says, two angels came down, and those angels got married to girls, and eventually they had children, and those are the giants. So the Gemara that really they can reach so cold, so high that you cannot even see the sun. So big deal. So you have giants of the song. Was the time of Avraham Avinu giants also? Og Melech HaBashan was a giant, so he had Avraham. You come to Israel, you come with Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the end of it. He says, if the giant will stay there, if Hashem wants him to stay, they'll stay. If Hashem doesn't want to stay, they'll die. And that's the rest of them. So what happened? You don't believe anymore in anything. But Yisakol HaEdas, chapter 14, with your permission, Vaitnu Et Kolam Veivku Am Balaylau. Says the Gemara, they all sat down over there, and they cried. They cried on that night, Balayla Ahu. It says on that night. Says the Gemara, what do you mean on that night? What's that night mean? The Gemara was at Tisha B'Av. The spies came back on the night of Tisha B'Av. That's when they arrived back to the camp, to the desert. Says they cried in Tisha B'Av. Comes the Gemara and says, And says, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said those words. You cried a cry of nothing. Now I'm going to make sure that this night you're going to cry for something. What does it mean? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem decided at that moment, first Beit HaMikdash, second Beit HaMikdash, are going both to be destroyed on the night the spies came back. This is what it has to do with anything. First of all, let me tell you something. This is, Ari says, let me tell you. He says, they have a right to cry. Listen, what do you want from them? They sent 12 rabbis as a group to see what is the situation in Israel. Doesn't matter what it is. Again, probably the mission was supposed to end with so-called a decision. It's good for us to go to Israel, it's not good for us. Okay, 10 out of the 12 rabbis said it's not good for us. It's better not to go over there. Didn't say what to do yet. It says, don't go to Israel. It's not for us. It says, who is this? 10 top rabbis. Excuse me. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to choose. It's not 10 people, you know, that came, they won the election because the Jewish people voted 80% for them. It says, this is people that Hashem told Moshe, they're the top of the line. So the Gemara says, Rahamim say, you have Caleb and Yeshua. He says, they were not the top of the line. He says, the list of what the Torah tells us, the 12 people, the biggest, what we call tzaddik, was Shamua ben Zakur, then Shafa ben Chori. Then later come Yeshua ben Nun, and come Caleb. He says, the top people. Okay, so I sent to Israel 12 rabbis. 10 out of the 12 came back. He said, it's not good for you. So I have children, I have family, I have a wife, I have, you know, the orphans from the people that died in Makat Hosher, and I hear from the rabbi. Can you imagine the rabbi? He said, the rabbi said, I don't advise you. So what's going to be? I'm going to stay in the desert. When he says in the desert, oh, I'm going to be attacked soon by the people, by those giants. I sat down on the floor and I cried. There's nothing is wrong. What do you want to do? To dance? What do you want to do? There's nothing wrong with this. What do you expect from a person that when he hears, you know, after those suffering in Egypt so much, he got to the desert, they're telling him, you're going to Israel. Now the rabbi said, you can't go to Israel. It's not one rabbi, 10 rabbis. 10 rabbis said, don't go to Israel. So I sat on the floor and I cried. So Hashem said, no, you cried for nothing. I cried for nothing. That's called nothing. What do you mean nothing? It's not nothing. You told me to send those people. Those people came back, and this is the report they gave, and they don't advise us to go to Israel. So I said, no, Father, and I cried. What do you want me to do? I didn't say I'm going to do Avodah Zarah. I didn't say I'm going to kill somebody. I didn't attack Moshe and do nothing. And what is the problem? Here, the Ramban, Rav Moshe Ben Nachman, and other Rishonim and Achronim, they all ask the same question. It says, nothing was done wrong, not by the spies and not by the people. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset. What are you upset about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech HaRachamim, God of mercy. He says, what do you want from these people, innocent people? What do you want from them? He says, no, because you cried for nothing, Beit HaMikdash, the first and the second, will be destroyed on that night that you cried for nothing. By the way, the statement, the way the Gemara says, it's not so-called the proper Hebrew. The Gemara says, the way that Hashem says it, Hashem said in Hebrew like this, Atem bechitem bechiya shel chinam. The translation of that sentence is like this, Atem you, bechitem you cried, bechiya a cry, shel chinam, of nothing. You don't say like this. You say you cry for nothing. You don't say you cried a cry of nothing. It's not a cry of nothing. There's no such sentence. You don't speak like this. You say, Hashem should have said, you cry for nothing. I'll make sure you can cry for a reason. Hashem doesn't say that. Hashem said, you cried a cry of nothing. What do you mean, a cry of nothing? So, then the Torah says that they were so upset, and then the sentence 2, chapter 14, and said, we should have died in Egypt. And says, Hashem brings us here, where are we going to die over here? And they're going to attack us. Hashem depending on your avas, they said, they're going to loot our wives, our children. Better off, we'll go back to Egypt. They said, let's go back to Egypt. I promise you, I want name. He said, no. Back and forth. Hashem said, you know what? Finished. They're going to die in the desert. They don't want to go to Israel. Good for them. From now on, no one from the age 20 to 60 will go to Israel. They're going to die. For the next 38 years, every year, 15,000 and change died in the desert. It says, only their children will go to Israel. And it says, I don't understand. What is the problem exactly? People, you know, were very upset. They're very depressed. They sat down and they cried. He says the 10 rabbis convinced them it's not the place to go. So therefore they deserve death. Why do they deserve death? But they didn't do nothing. They didn't do the golden calf. They didn't kill anybody. What is Hashem is all upset about? What is the problem exactly? What is the problem you don't go to Israel? So the 10 rabbis, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told me to send the 10 rabbis. The 10 rabbis said, Israel is not for me. I said, I don't want to go to Israel. So you know what I'm going to do? You're going to die. Why am I going to die? But opposite, you should assure me, you should have told me, listen, don't worry about it. The 10 rabbis made a mistake. Even though they came back, don't listen to them. Whatever. Hashem has his own way how to convince people. But what is the punishment? What is the problem? I think it's enough now. There's some more questions to go. But maybe at the end, maybe I'll get to it. The Ari says the Zohar like this. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, actually he used these cycles material. And so the cycle was not invented by America, invented by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says from all the worlds that were here before this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all the souls of the people and converted them to material. And some material that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used, some calls the souls of people, to make earth, to make the sun, to make the moon, the flowers, the trees, it says the animals, all the creatures, all the objects besides water, everything used to be a person before, now it's reincarnation in this world. And therefore, Ari says, you know, those the scientists, you know, they find certain things that tells you, oh, but you say the world is standing 5,770 years. And I'll prove it to you. I'll show you a stone. I show you a stone from 100 years ago, from 200 years ago. That stone is 5 million years ago. And you look at the stone, 100%. It can be 5,000. You see the ratio. You see the things. Also, you see the mountains. You see on the mountains, you know, certain mountains, you see they are so-called... it's not a straight mountain from the same material. You see, sometimes it's red and then green, and you know, all this marble. You know, you have those marbles. I says, what is this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made marble. I said, what has she made marble? You can't even see the marble. It's inside the mountain. Today, Baruch Hashem, they have machines. They go to Brazil. They go to Italy. They go to China. They bring pieces of marble with so many colors. They says, what did Hashem make it for? For what did Hashem make it? This marble buried in the ground. You tell me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, you know, us to see it. He would have just, you know, put it on the floor. He says, no, it's inside the mountain to go and they dig the mountain and then they get a piece of marble. He says, "Ooh, what a color, what a color." He says, so many colors and so many levels and so many ways. What is behind it? Remember, he says that what it means that the Kadosh Baruch Hu took souls of people and brought them back to this. And Navi says it. Navi says it. It says, Even Mikirti. His act, Uchvis Meetzi Anena, the Gemara says, the Ari says, the Zohar says, we don't think that the stone doesn't feel anything. Don't think the stone doesn't hear anything. Because the stone can hear, the stone can scream. Like animals, like flowers, like fruit, the same thing. And it's not Kadosh Baruch Hu used this material. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created this world. So what? What did happen? This is what we you know we read. For example, Parashat Balak is going to be the donkey that speaks. So you know, all of a sudden, a donkey speaks. I said, well, what do you think? What it is? The donkey speaks. So once upon a time, Ari says, if you remember, this donkey used to be a person. It used to be Ishmael, and Ishmael it became a donkey. It says Parashat Korach that Moshe talks and earth opens up. Or when Moshe wanted to split Yamsuf, so again, Yamsuf did not want to split because actually everything has some kind of resistance. Let's remember what we say in Shabbat in Keladon. It says, you know, the sun and the moon, they come outside daily. It says, they come outside and they're happy to do what Hashem wants from them. If you remember, the Rambam writes in his commentary, in his book, Yad HaChazakah, he says, don't think that the sun and the moon and the stars are just, you know, objects without any choice. They have a choice. I mean, they have a choice. The sun has a choice. Of course it has. The Rambam says, of course the sun has a choice. And the Gemara says, actually, the sun has a choice daily. The sun sometimes does not want to come outside to shine, sometimes. So Rambam says, you should know, this is really the secret. That the third day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Earth, please produce trees with fruits. But Hashem emphasized, I want the tree to taste like the fruit. It means like this, when you go outside and you have a fruit tree, the branches of the fruit tree should have tasted exactly like the fruit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a reason for that. And the Torah tells you clearly on the first Tuesday that earth did not do it. And Hashem was very upset at earth, but earth did not do it. It says only produce fruits. It says the only two trees that really the fruit and so-called the branches are the same. The one is a trog. It says actually if you want to take a branch of a trog and taste it, and you cut that trog and you taste that trog, it's the same exact taste. As well, is what those hot peppers that we call. This is the little hot peppers. This is those hot peppers also, the branches of the hot peppers taste like the peppers. Those two. All the rest, earth did not comply and listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so-called rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, she's like, what do you mean, earth rebelled? It's not earth rebelled. It's so-called earth was made from souls of people, and every little piece of earth contains a soul, and the earth was made from so-called people, from souls, and they did not want to do. And actually, Hashem cursed earth when after Adam HaRishon ate from the tree, Hashem cursed earth. Also, later, because Cain killed Hevel, and earth so-called swallowed the blood, well, we take it for granted. Of course, if you spill blood on earth, it says the blood goes inside. It's not for granted, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset that earth, so-called, swallowed the blood of heaven. He says, this is a kind of a disaster that, you know, that Ariel says that you should know that this is what it means, that the places that you dwell, that the places that you stay, you say you're standing sometimes on a bomb. He says, look, you know, I used to live over here, and everything was perfect. Since I moved, I don't know what happened. I don't know, my business is not so good, this is not so good, I don't know, I got sick, whatever. I said, what happened? I said, nothing. You should know, Earth has a tremendous power as far as running this world, and this is what the Earth did already on the first Tuesday, did not listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, the consequences is that I don't want to live in that place. I don't want to stay in that place. This is that place, so-called, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to create this world, was Eretz Israel. It says this is the center of the world. And over there, this is actually what Earth, so-called, disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command and doesn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What eventually is going to happen, that if you dwell on the same spot, that's going to happen to you. So eventually, I'm not going to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why, because the place that you dwell has a lot of so-called influence and power on the person that dwells on that spot. I said, not only that, the Gemara says about Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara says about the nation called Chori, it says you should know also it has to do with what you're going to grow. It says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, it's not every country and every place has the same energy inside. It says the Gemara says there was a nation, it's called Chori, they knew they used to go and smell earth, and it says this place you should plant this kind of a tree. Of course, any tree can grow here, but it's not meant for this. It means the taste of a fruit that so-called was planted in one place, it's not going to be the same taste and it was in a different place. It can be. Can be the same. It says the Shlomo HaMelech knew. Says the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech knew. He planted trees. He knew where to plant the trees. It says because every square inch of earth has a different energy in it. And therefore, Dalai says, you know, it's better to stay away from certain places. This is the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov once went with the Hasid in some place and they wanted to pray. Mincha, Baal Shem Tov said, no, over here we cannot pray. He says, I feel over here that a Jew was killed by a goy here. He says, the energy of this place is not good. Energy of this place. I says the Ari one time, Rabbi Chaim Vital came. He asked him, "Where were you? Where were you?" He said, "I had to pray for you because he came." He says he crossed a grave of a non-Jew that died 1,000 years before. And Ari told him, "Listen, when you step over there on that spot, you could have died. I had to pray for you to be saved because every piece on this earth has its own positive or negative, so-called power influence on the person." And that's what happened the first Tuesday. And since then, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, Earth does what she wants. It says you plant something, and you see, you know, it doesn't come. It doesn't come. You have to go fertilize it and this, and you water it and this. It comes, it doesn't come. It looks good, it doesn't look good. It says because Earth really doesn't do the job 100% since the first Tuesday. Of course, this might cause that, you know, that we're going to go to Israel, so we'll not so-called obey and fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectation because we're in the same spot. That spot, so-called, did not respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he says, that's the whole story over here, that Am Yisrael came to Moshe and said, listen, Moshe, we know there's a cloud. We know. The cloud will take us to Israel. No, it's true. But we want to know what is the land all about. He says, the land is a good land. What it means is, if the land will let us do what we want, so-called, to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Or the land has influence on us. He says, so let's go see what the situation. So therefore, Torah says, Moshe gives them instructions. I tell you what, you go to Israel, you go around. Of course, you know what's going on, but you go check it now on this idea, on this method. He says, I'm going to see how is Israel. I said, what you going to see? What do you want to see? It's a good country. I said, let me tell you something. If you see, let's say you see in this country a lot of funerals. So what comes to you in your head? He says, I tell you what comes to me in my head. It means there is some kind of negative thing in the ground, people get sick. I don't know if you know that, but they say Long Island, it says certain sicknesses in America are more in Long Island. More. This is the bed sickness. I says, they say they may be from the water. They have no idea what it is. I says, listen, when you go to Israel, I want to see what's going on. He said, let me see. I want to see the tall people or midget. So what do you mean? What do you mean? He says, it has to do with the food that you have in Israel. He said, listen, if the food is not so good, so-called the people don't grow. He said, how are you going to get those tall people? He says, if you see small people, he says, they don't eat right. Something is wrong. He says, let's check Israel that way. Let's see if everything is over there is rosy or there's certain negative things. If certain negative things, it means that earth today in Israel, the time we're coming to Israel, does not have so-called the best energy for me to be there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in a place that Chas v'Shalom, I will rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here, the earth rebelled. Earth has a power to rebel. I don't know how it is, but that's what it is. Hashem told earth to produce trees that the taste of the bench should be the taste of the fruit. It didn't. So Zahir, you know, this is really what Moshe told, why Moshe Rabbeinu loved the idea. Even though Hashem told him, I don't advise you, Moshe said, listen, I know the truth. Before Moshe died, he tells them, Israel, I know that eventually in Israel, you're going to sin and you're going to be thrown out of Israel. He said, how do you know? He said, because actually that's what the situation is. The situation, Israel is not so-called cleared that thing what earth rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah, you know, the Meraglim, and Moshe tells them, I want to tell you something. What I want you to do is, when you come to Israel, go take some fruits, bring the fruits over here. Bring the fruits. This is what does he want to do? He says, he wants to taste the fruits, of course. So the Torah, you know, the first thing, the Meraglim, they came to Israel, they went, they took a branch. And then they took the fruits. He says, what a branch for? What do you need a branch for? I said, oh, now I'll tell you what it is. I want to know if the branch tastes like the fruit. If it doesn't taste, it means the same thing that happened a few thousand years ago when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told earth to produce, it's still the same situation. He said, look, can you imagine a etrog and this hot pepper, the branch tastes like the fruit. He says, how come the grapes, the branch of the grapes doesn't? He says, obviously you know what it means. It's still continuously earth that does not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Earth can produce today. He says, today you go and you have in your backyard a vineyard, the branch of the vineyard should taste like the grapes. It doesn't. That's what says it. No, they go over there. They go over there and says, no, Sir Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't understand. I know you have information. I know you know the giants over there. But let me explain to you something. You know, the giants, they came from angels, so-called, they disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. It says, in the time of the Mabul, it says, two angels came down. Hashem told them, I don't advise you to go. I said, listen, we will go on our own. They came down here. They did bad things over here. And they got married to regular girls. And they had children. And here are the survivors of who? Of those sinners. It says, where do they leave those sinners? It says, those sinners live in Hebron. In Hebron. They don't live in China, in Hebron. It says, there are no giants in China. The giants are in Israel, in the center of Israel. In the best place of Israel, it's called Hebron. It says they live giants. You know what it means? It means that Eretz Israel lets those sinners stay over there. It means, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned us, if you're not going to behave, you're going to end up out. He said, how are we going to end up out if those giants, those Bnei Nephilim, the sons of those sinners, of angels, forget about people, angels that disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something very compatible to the earth that disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, what it is, look, there's the fruits. They said, this is the right 100%. Not only that, they said, now I tell you, Moshe, ki chazak mimenu. So you know what it means? It means not that somebody is stronger than Hashem. What it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu, we came down there, this is the fruit, this is the branch, those are giants over there. They said, you know what it means? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all the respect, let others insult him, and the angels called the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the king of insultment. He says, that's what it is. He says, what it is, Hashem lets other forces, so-called, to overcome him. He says, here's the proof. Look at the proof. He says, those sinners, the giant live over there. How can Hashem let those giants live over there? They came from sinners, from angels. Hashem let them live in Israel. This is called the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem let earth produce so many things that so-called against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, impossible. And they sat down and they cried. Says, Zari, I will teach you, I'll tell you what it means to cry. With your permission, if you go to last week's parasha, this is chapter 11. At chapter 11, we learn last week's parasha. It says like this. So sentence 4, chapter 11, sentence 4. It says we are at the edge to go to Eretz Israel. All of a sudden the Torah says like this. The Asafsuf, Asher Bekirbo, it says the Arab, the Egyptians that came along with us. This is chapter 11, sentence 4. It says, the people that came along with us, Hitavu Tava, it says they wanted to have something good to eat. By Yashuvu Vayivku Gam Bnei Yisrael. It says, Am Yisrael started to cry. Yachalinu Basar. It says, we won't have a piece of meat. Zachanu Et Hadagah Shenochal BeMitzrayim Chinam. Remember the fish we ate for nothing. It says, Zari, let me explain to you what's going on. Hashem is very upset, let's speak if you remember. And a lot of people died because they want to have a piece of meat. What is the problem? So, you know, they have man daily, in the morning and the evening. They won't have a piece of meat. Hashem tells Moshe, no, they should not have a piece of meat. They should not have a piece of meat. He says, what's the big deal? Let them have a piece of meat. Hashem says, you know, if they're going to have a piece of meat, you know what's going to happen? They're going to die. Why are they going to die? Why are they going to die? Because of a piece of meat, they're going to die. He says, I tell you the so-called, the dates, how it goes. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies on the 29 days of Sivan. This is next Friday. 40 days, they come back on Tisha B'Av. Because they come back on Tisha B'Av, says Ari, says the Zohar, that's the whole tragedy. It's called Balayla, oh, this is the bad night. It's Tisha B'Av, the power of that night is very bad power. It says they came back. Why did they come back on the night of Tisha B'Av? Because it took them 40 days to go. So why did they leave on 40 days before? So if you go backwards, it says before the spies were sent, Miriam had Tzara'at. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. She got the Tzara'at. She had to be locked 7 days. And the Torah tells you a story you should know. When Miriam was locked, Am Yisrael had waited for Miriam. Since Miriam once waited for Moshe Rabbeinu when he was born, it says Am Yisrael is waiting. It says Miriam is in the house locked up. Am Yisrael is waiting. After she was so-called healed after 7 days, then they send the spies. It was the 29th of Sivan. Okay. Now go back. It says, why Miriam got tzara'at? You know why Miriam got tzara'at? Because she said Lashon Hara about Moshe. What did she say about Moshe? She said, how come Moshe Rabbeinu never goes home? He says, why? What made you say that? He says, well, I tell you what happened. Moshe's two brothers, it's called Eldad and Medad, they got some prophecy. And when they got some prophecy, Miriam was standing by, and she hears that Zipporah, Moshe's wife, says, oh my God. He says, how unlucky their wives is going to be. So Miriam asks, what do you mean? He says, well, my husband, Moshe, since he became a prophet, he never comes home. Obviously, those two, Moshe's brothers, they lie on the floor, can end the same thing with their so-called social life with a wife. They'll never go back home. So that caused Miriam to say Lashon Hara about Moshe, and that caused the HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Miriam with Tzara'at. And that caused that Am Yisrael had to wait for Miriam for 7 days. And that, after the 7 days, we send the spies. Says, okay, let's go backwards. Why Eldad and Medad, Moshe's brothers on the floor, now saying a prophecy? That's because Moshe wanted to resign. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, don't resign, I'll give you help. Why Moshe wanted to resign? Because Am Yisrael started to cry for nothing because they want to have peace of meat. So the whole tragedy that we are at now, that the spies come back on the night of Tisha B'Av, Cesare, they could have come back much before, but the problem is they could not have left before because Miriam was wrecked. Miriam was wrecked because she said Lashon Hara. She said Lashon Hara because Eldad and Medad are on the floor. They have come with prophecy. Why on the floor? Because they came upon the request of Moshe, so-called he wants to resign. He wants to give his resignation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Hashem said, don't worry about it. I'll give you some help. Eldad and Medad was supposed to be some of the helpers. He said, Moshe wants to resign because of a piece of meat. He says, that's the problem. He says, you cried for nothing for a piece of meat. Hashem, with his wisdom, he sees the future. He tells Moshe, I don't like this business with the meat. He says, what do you care? A piece of kosher piece of meat, you don't understand. That kosher piece of meat is going, so-called, to trigger Moshe's resignation. It's going to trigger that Miriam speaks Lashon Hara. It's going to trigger that Miriam is going to locked up. It's going to trigger the spies will end up coming on the Tisha B'Av. And then, this is the tragedy. It's not the tragedy of the spies. The tragedy is the meat that we cried for nothing for a piece of meat. But not because of the meat, because the meat eventually will send us to the spies that come back on the Tisha B'Av. That's the tragedy, Ari says. So it's nothing wrong with the spies, nothing wrong with Am Yisrael. Something's wrong with the crying. Which crying? It's not the crying they cry today. It's the crying they cried a few weeks ago when they wanted a piece of meat. And nothing is wrong for the meat, but it was for nothing. You should not have asked for the meat, because if you wouldn't, Moshe would not have given his resignation. Moshe would not have given his resignation was no Lashon Hara. We know Lashon Hara, the spy would have gone long time ago, would have come back on a regular day, everything would be okay. So you fell in the trap because you so-called caused it. The whole tragedy is because of you, because you cried for a piece of meat. It says nothing's wrong with the meat. But it was wrong from you to cry for nothing. And Hashem said, I don't want them to have the meat. Moshe, I don't want this. What do you care? Well, let them have a piece of meat. Don't understand. That meat will cause the Lashon Hara. That meat will delay the spies. That meat would cause the spies to come back and Shabbat. And that's the tragedy of this parasha. That's what the Gemara says. You cried for nothing. Don't cry for nothing. You cried a cry of nothing. It says here, Parashat Baruch Hu, it says, Zachanu et ha-dagah shenochal b'mitzrayim chinam. Here it says. It says, we remember we ate for free, for nothing. Ah, that's the nothing. You cried for this nothing. That cried for nothing. It's going to cause the whole thing. You know, this is what the whole parasha is all about. It's really, the spies are holy people. The people have a right to cry. But that cry that they cry now is called lack of emunah, lack of respect that they had against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Last week, they cried for this piece of meat. It says that triggered the whole thing. It says that Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us in the Torah what's the consequences if we just want something that really, it doesn't look like it's so bad. Big deal. A kosher piece of meat. Who cares? It says that piece of meat. It says, we'll show you what happened. At the end, it's going to be this tragedy that we got stuck in the desert. It says, because last week, the disrespect, it's not the spies, it's the disrespect of Am Yisrael to Moshe Rabbeinu, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a piece of meat. It says, that triggered the whole thing. And he says, you should know, this is after all, we're going to read that Yeshua Stokol is taking the same chance. Yeshua is sending two spies again. And he is upon himself without asking Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, now, what are you sending now? What are you sending now? Those two people. He says, those two people have inside themselves the power of control. They will go to Israel and they would control themselves. By controlling yourself, by not falling into a trap, that will show Am Israel that this is the time to go back to Eretz Israel. And that's after I will say, okay, they came to Rachab's house and she told them, listen, everybody's scared of you. She said, okay, they came back to the camp and said, okay, we're ready to go to Israel. He says, well, how do you know ready? He says, they all have so-called fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that was missing by us. Instead to have fear and respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the desert, we cried for nothing, we cried for a piece of meat. So he says, It's our job, it's so-called Ezra Shir Asamea Bechelkot, that constantly we should be happy what we have, and not to have more than that, we want to have another thing. He says, that thing is not, nothing's wrong with this. I want a piece of steak, nothing's wrong with this. But you don't know the consequences of this piece of steak that you had, that caused the spies to come back and come out. He says, if we would have controlled ourselves, and we would ask and cry for nothing, for the piece of meat, we wouldn't be up to date, and we would be in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Menonim.